Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Everything Apple announced this past week and more.
Oh, yeah, we have some big stuff. Also, a free app that lets you shoot video in a very nice way.
And I am going to play doctor with Leo.
Next on iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Texture. Access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Try it free for 14 days at texture.com/twit. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter the promo code iOS Today to receive a free Tracker Bravo with any purchase. iOS Today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte.
I am Megan Maroney.
And it's a big day because this morning, minutes ago, Apple released iOS 10.3 for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and Watch. In fact, you and I are updating our watches. We've updated our phones. We've updated our iPads. And I guess we should go and update our Apple TV.
We should. At 10.3. Got a lot of new features. We're going to talk about those after a break. But okay. We're not going to take a break yet. Not time for a break yet. First, I wanted to go in order because last week after our show, Apple made a lot of announcements that I thought was worth talking about.
Oh, a red iPhone?
Yes, a red iPhone.
And you emailed me and said, should I buy that? And I said, no, under no circumstances.
I did not. No, Nathan was thinking he could get it from his representative.
Yeah, what happened? Now that he's working for us, Nathan Oliveris Childs, no longer for the Wall Street Journal, not so easy to get free stuff, is it?
I don't know. Maybe just this.
Don't mention my name. Yes. I swear, I did.
I work for Twit. For what? For Twit.
Remember me from Wall Street Journal? I'm back for more. Where do you work now? You know, I'm just doing some stuff.
Yes. He didn't get it yet.
He'll get the one Rene Ritchie had, or Walt Mossberg, or, you know, all the other, you know, David Pogue, or, you know, Jim Dalrymple, or all those other people. He'd get it kind of old, beat up. That's the worst, by the way. I just want a little insight, perhaps, into the life of a tech journalist. If you're on the second tier, the first tier guys, and they're the big publications, will get the phone in a nice, fresh box, shrink wrap, it'll be brand new. And this is true not just from Apple, but everybody. And then if you're a little bit lower on the totem pole, you'll get a device to review, but you'll get it after everybody else has reviewed it. The box is beat up. The phone is a little greasy, a little, you know, used. There's nude pictures of somebody's child on it, and that's what you get to review. So that's why, you know, it's a big deal. We fight for priority, for dominance in this business.
And there's really not a lot to review. It's the same phone. It's just, it's the 7. It's the 7 Plus.
It's just $100
red.
More.
And it's red. And, of course, it's one of product red, which means a percentage of it goes to the global fund, which helps.
It better be at least $100.
Well, that's the thing. Apple's not saying how much it is.
Wouldn't it be terrible if Apple charged $100 more but gave $50 to product red?
Yeah.
That would be really bad.
But
they don't say how much. They say a percentage.
Yeah, they say a percentage. Why not just say? That's the thing. The fact that they don't say, like, I don't know. But they don't make as much profit off of these because they won't sell as many. So, you know, the profit margin is less. So who knows? I think they should have said, I'm surprised they didn't say.
We give $100 of every purchase to Product Red would be great.
Right.
The AIDS Foundation. Right.
The Global Fund. So it supports HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis research, malaria research. And And they give the Global Fund, whatever Apple gives the Global Fund, says that's 100% to the research. There's no overhead involved in that. So
Apple should be a little bit more forthcoming.
Yes, they should. Tell us.
What does a percentage mean? It could be 1%, it could be 10, it could be 50.
Yeah.
I would guess it's probably, you know, closer to 50 than 1, but we don't know. We have to guess.
I would like to know. I like the red.
Also, Yeah, red's beautiful, but it has a white face, which I don't like.
But then you can buy a $14 screen protector.
Yeah, Marcus Brownlee and others figured out that if you put a dark screen protector for $14 on the white face of the red iPhone that you can have, then you know, I think I understand white and red. It's kind of like, it's Canadian colors. It's kind of fun. It's light. But here's the problem. See that white home button? I don't like that. So I don't think I would do the black thing. I decided not to get the red one anyway because I don't think we need to. And by the way, if you want, you could also support Product Red by buying a red silicone case for your iPhone 7. That also goes to them. And then you get a nice red iPhone without buying a whole new iPhone, which is a lot of money.
A new iPad, as you
sort of
expect. Well, it's cheaper. And it's heavier.
It's a replacement for the lowest cost iPad Air 2. Is the new entry level iPad, $399. But it's basically, you know, it's a kind of, it's just iPad, by the way. Oh, sorry, $329.
And but it's got the A9 chip. That's good.
Yep.
Not
the 9X that's in the pros, just the 9.
But that's a good price for an iPad.
That's the point. And I think it's not the end of the new iPad. So that was a discussion we had on Tuesday with Renee and the MacBreak Weekly gang. Everybody seems to think we're still going to see some new iPads maybe next month soon. But this was just getting this out of the way. This is the entry-level iPad for schools, for people who want an upgrade but don't want to spend $500 on a new iPad. $329 is a good price. Now, that's for the 32-gig version, and then there's it would cost more for the larger storage SKUs. But this is, I think it's mostly for schools and things like that. It's the fleet purchase version.
And what did you think about the Clips app? That's the app that's not out yet, but it's a video app. It seems very similar to all the other video apps that we use, except for it has that feature that will put the words that you're saying, caption whatever you're saying, right onto the video.
That's the it's going to be out next month, so we don't know. But that's the one that's most interesting. Lauren Good had a very good piece where she walked through it, and I think that the captioning is kind of the most interesting. The example that Apple gave her was a guy showing how to tie a bow tie, and you would just deliver it to the camera and it would caption it, there you go, as you're doing it. And then you could, and the reason this is useful is you'll see this all the time on places like Facebook where they autoplay the video but they don't play the audio. And this is a great way to catch the eye. In fact, I think it was first AJ Al Jazeera Plus that did this, where they would have their videos with captioning. And I'm sure they got more views and longer views because people didn't want to turn on the sound, but they still got the content of the video. And now you see everybody doing that. So this is nice. You'll be able to do that. It seems to share pretty easily using the share sheet, you know, that share button, and it pulls up the sheet to the places that are on your share sheet, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, if you've got those apps installed. I mean, that's what some people said is, well, why would you want to do this in a Clips app instead of doing it in the app, the Instagram app or the Twitter app? But I think that it's got enough nice features.
Yeah.
It's not quite Snapchat.
Right. But I Snapchat, but I don't, you know, I Snapchat and then put it on Twitter or other places.
Well, that's one of the things I like about Snapchat is it is by itself a great app doing what Clips does in a way, right?
Right.
You don't get the share sheet, I guess, but...
But it automatically saves to your camera roll.
Right. So you have it.
Not automatically, but when you hit save.
Then you have to go through that process of launching into their app and opening the camera roll. So this will save that extra step. Because it's Apple and they have control of all that stuff. Yeah.
And then the new iPhone SE. So there's nothing new about that except for that it no longer comes in the 16-gigabyte version. So you can't get that. So they say a big step for small, which means the smallest is now bigger size and the medium size is even bigger than that. So, yeah, if you're into the SE and you wanted a little more space, it's good news for people.
Yeah, actually, Abby's going to be buying an SE because she wants a 4-inch screen.
Huh.
She doesn't want a bigger iPhone.
Yeah.
You and I, we're geeks. We like big because we're using it as a computer. But she just wants something portable. It's easy to carry around. So I understand that.
Yeah. I thought there was more to talk about, but I guess we should just jump into iOS 10.3. What did I miss something?
The watch bands.
Oh, new watch bands. New watch bands.
Okay, now we can do something else.
Well, I noticed you and I both were admiring Georgia's double tour.
She had the Hermes, which is not an expensive watch band, but it's very stylish, right? It's the twists. And I have to say, remember I was mocking it when you were wearing it? I thought that's kind of dopey, but you were wearing a knockoff, mm-hmm. and I thought the Hermes did look better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. When I saw it in real life, I thought, oh, yeah, that
yeah,
looks way better.
There's a difference. There's a reason you buy Hermes as opposed to the knockoff.
And the knockoff pops off. It's, like, loose and pops off my wrist, so then you don't get your, you know, it's not connected to your heart rate.
Yeah.
So, and you don't get your activity points.
You get what you pay for, although, what is it, hundreds of dollars, right?
Yeah, I think I got what I paid for, too, $12.
And you know what? You're both happy.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. So then there's not much more. Lots of announcements.
I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we've seen everything from Apple this spring. I again, want to emphasize, I think they're going to have new iPads. And I hope they're going to have new Macs in the next month or so. And for that, maybe they'll have an event. Maybe not. They didn't bother with an event for this one. And it's a good thing, because I would have been mad if we got up early, spent an hour talking about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So 10.3, newest operating system, out today. Took about 15 minutes to get on my iPhone and my iPad. Make sure your devices are charged over 50%
or plugged in. It's a pretty big update. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a little longer than previous updates, because one of the things it's doing, and this is a big deal, although you won't see any difference, is it's changing the underlying file system of iOS devices to a new file system. Apple has for years, on both Macintosh and iOS, used HFS Plus. In fact, it's almost a 30-year-old file system. The file system is how the computer or the phone or the iPad stores data on a hard drive, how it finds it, how it retrieves it, all of that stuff. You know, it's like a card catalog. But modern file systems really are much more sophisticated and do a lot more to protect your data. They're also, remember, if you had a file system that's 30 years old, that was before solid-state drives existed. And, of course, every iPad and iPhone has a solid-state drive in it. So one of the reasons I think we get APFS first on iOS is because of all the solid-state drives. APFS apparently does a better job with solid-state drives. You might notice, I don't think you will, but you might notice a little speed improvement. It should be more reliable, more robust. And it's what we call a COW file system, a copy-on-write file system. And that makes the your data integrity. It's good for data integrity. It preserves data integrity with a variety of things. So you're less likely to have errors on the hard drive. Not that I have. We don't see very many. Although you might have errors that you don't know that they're errors. A program might crash or, mm-hmm. you know, you can't load a photo or whatever. That's an error, but you wouldn't know exactly what's going on. So I think that's a big, big change, but one that people aren't going to really notice. We will get APFS on the Macintosh apparently sometime this year. I'm thinking now, maybe in the next update. I don't know. Maybe pretty soon.
Do you use the podcast app on your iPad or your iPhone?
I don't. I like third-party podcast apps like Pocket Casts, but they've added a widget.
They have added a widget. So how do you add new widgets available? I think
if you go down to edit.
Yeah. Let's see. Where
the bottom of your widget.
There's a pod. Just that. That's the podcast widget.
Let's see.
Yeah, podcast. So
just press plus.
Let's see.
See how it's different.
Where did it go?
Do you use it? Because it won't do much if you don't have some subscribed podcasts.
Well, it must do something, right? There it is. I do. Look at all the podcasts I subscribed. Okay, so I opened it.
And now it's playing. Is it?
No, that was just... Okay, let's go back. Uh-oh.
You broke your iPad. Mm. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, hello, iOS 10.3.
So maybe you want to hold off on maybe that you iOS wanna, update.
Or maybe hold off on the podcast widget. Let me see if...
Let me see if I can crash my iPod.
Oh, yeah.
iPad.
This is exciting.
We'll do this again. Wait a minute. Let's go to the widgets and the edit button. And these are the ones I am using right now. And let's add some more widgets. There's Pocket Cast, which is the third-party app. Where's... I don't see Apple's podcast app. You had the hard time finding it, too. Where did you find it?
I guess it was... Did you delete the app from your iPad?
Oh, you know what? I don't have the app on here.
Yeah, because I deleted it because I don't have it on my...
That's what it is.
Because I don't have it on my iPhone either because I deleted the app. This was... In iOS 10.2 was the first time you could delete the podcast app, so of course we immediately
first
deleted
thing we
it.
First did. Holy cow, what a moron I am.
But yeah, it really froze this thing up, though.
What do we do when we freeze up a...
Help me.
Oh, she works. She works.
Okay.
So I have podcasts on my iPhone. So let me just I see it's downloading some. So this is the let me go back to the widgets. So I do have it on this app, and let's edit my widgets. Let's see here. Is it alphabetic? It's kind of confusing because it's alphabetic and then it gets to the end and it starts over again. So I don't podcast. I don't see, there podcast. Let's add that. Okay, boy, wouldn't that be funny if this crashes? Mm-hmm. There it is. So there. No, that's good.
Yours worked.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was trying to download too many episodes at once.
Look at, I subscribe to all the Twit podcasts. Look at that. I have some good taste. And let's see if when I tap the podcast, it starts playing right away.
Oh, from your...
From the app. Without any controls. There's no way to stop it.
That's so helpful.
Yeah. I guess I have to go here and stop.
Oh, yeah.
It. But there you go.
Well, that's great.
Kind of cool. If you're a big podcast listener, we encourage you to do that.
But Pocket Cast had a widget a while ago, which
a spoil sport.
Okay, sorry.
It didn't crash your iPad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So you just can sit there?
It's resetting. It's restarting. Okay. I did that power button plus home. Wow.
So it didn't do it on the iPhone. Did you not have podcasts installed? No, you wouldn't have seen
the widget. I did have it, but I think maybe it was trying to download them all at once or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Wow.
Okay, all right. I'm back.
There's also, if you go to settings, I actually think this is a nice feature. At the very top of your settings is your profile card. Mm. You could dig around for this in previous versions, but having it at the top there is smart. It shows you your... You know, contact information. That comes from the contacts app, but it has other stuff: payment, shipping, password and security, your iCloud account, and every device you have attached to the iCloud account, which is pretty cool. Look at that. There's my Apple TV at home, and I presume if I tap it, I can see more information about it. Not a find my Apple TV, but that's kind of cool. So I'm not going to open up these because I don't want to give away any personal information. But let me just
haven't we given it all away
check.
By now?
Yeah, we have. There's nothing. Yeah, so it shows two-factor authentication on, trusted phone numbers. You can request a verification code, which is kind of nice if you tried to sign on another device and you never got a verification code. You can request another one. It shows what my family sharing credit cards are. It shows a shipping address. So this is a good way to find out what Apple knows about you or what it thinks it knows about you and verify it.
Yep. Also, another big feature, if you've got the AirPods, it's got Find My AirPods on it. So
But
it's Bluetooth only. So if you...
There's no GPS, obviously, in the AirPods.
Right. If you left them in Chicago or...
Well, what it's really going to tell you is that where the last place you paired with your AirPods was.
Right.
So if you left them in Chicago, if you had used them in Chicago, it's going to show you the last place you used them. So that's kind of useful. In fact, isn't that what your mother always asks you when you're missing something?
Where did you leave them?
Where'd you see it last?
Where'd you leave them? Like, Mom, obviously, if I knew where
Yeah.
And so let's say you lost them in the couch cushions or you
won't
lost
help
them.
You there. You
well,
just know it's at home.
If you are at home.
Right.
And you lost them in the couch cushions, they can play a sound. And not just both of them, but either one. You
let's
just
hear
let's
that.
Say if you just lost your left one or your left right
so
one.
So that was Rene Ritchie's cheap way of doing this before he knew this feature was coming, but he just turned the music up really loud in his AirPods when he dropped them in the snow. It actually worked for him. But is this loud enough to hear if they're on the ground?
Well, let's try it out, why don't we? Okay, so here it is. Here's find my, are you not showing my screen because I'm showing something personal that, okay. I can't, does it? So here we are. Here's all my things. Here's my AirPods. Here they are with me. So here are the actions I can choose. I can play a sound. So ready?
Boy, that is loud.
So you know what?
Would you it hear starts, that if we're
it's, It oh, starts quiet and gets bigger.
Oh,
because
that's actually good in case it was in your ear.
In your ear. Yeah, you don't want to play it in your ear.
That's smart.
So then if you can see, you can mute the left or you can mute the right if you have, if you just lose the left one or just the right one. Now it's never
going to happen. I like
so
that.
Mute
so there's
the left
a map and it will make sounds. That's good.
Yeah. Stop
We've
playing.
Been waiting for this feature. This seems like something that would have been nice to have in the beginning, but not too many people have AirPods yet anyway, so... I guess it sort of is the beginning.
And then you tap on that car and it tells you how to get to where they are.
It gives you navigation. You're 1 minute away.
Yeah.
That's good.
So I have not lost them beyond when I've been able to find them yet, but they do fall out a lot. You know what? It's funny because I wonder if they've had this feature in the works all the time, and someone said, like, let's not put Find My AirPods in there right away because then people will think they're easily lost.
Oh, maybe.
You know?
Don't talk about finding them.
Yeah, you'll never lose them.
Never lose them.
So you go ahead.
Well, weather supposedly has some force touch features.
Ooh.
But I can't get it to work.
Mm.
Supposedly what? You force touch the city and something will happen? 3D touch, you know?
I didn't heard about that.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe I misunderstood because it's not doing anything.
I thought also that your storage and iCloud usage would show up in a different, like there was a visual representation of.
Well, that would be nice.
But I don't see that.
Okay.
Either. What else is new?
I'm so excited. We've been using this.
Okay, Jerome Vuoso, he wrote in about that there's a new addition to the settings in applications. Remember we talked about this, so that if some applications are going to allegedly slow down your iPhone or iPad, they'll be listed there.
That's because this is another big thing, and this goes along with the new file system, I think. This is the first all 64-bit version of iOS, which means we were talking about this a couple of months ago. You know, you would run an older application would say, caution, may slow down your iPhone or your iPad. That's because those are 32-bit applications. Mm. Now, they won't even run.
Mm.
So if you have older applications and you used to see that warning and you went through it anyway, at this point, if the developer hasn't updated it, it won't run. It has to be all 64-bit applications. That's a small percentage. I can't remember. It's a few thousand apps at best, 5-10%, something like that. Of all the total apps. It's not a huge number.
See, here's a list of mine that are not going to work. I have no idea what any of these apps are. But, so I got this at General Applications. And so Timer, Trixie Bricks, Olreco, and Color Code.
You probably want to delete those because they're just not going to run.
I know. I probably want to delete them because I have no idea what they are. But, no, this one is like a mastermind game. But, yeah. I guess
that's
actually really
useful. I didn't realize they were going to tell us ahead of time. So that's in general?
General.
Yeah.
And applications.
Applications.
Or general, applications.
I don't have
applications. General about.
About.
General about.
Then applications. Got
general.
It. And then applications. And so.
About applications.
These apps may slow down your iPhone and will not work with future versions of iOS if they are not updated. Well, I think they won't work now. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think they'll... I mean, this one works.
How to Cook, JBL Music, Jeopardy, and High Arcs Chess for me. I really liked How to Cook. That's the Mark Bittman... let me see if I can launch it. How to Cook Everything by Mark Bittman. How to Cook needs to be updated. This app will not work with future versions of iOS. So I guess we aren't quite to that point where these things won't work.
Yeah,
This is the escalating warning system. And it's a little bit... little more warning.
Well, it for sure doesn't show all of them because, you know, so many of the apps don't show up. They won't, they're only in, they won't do portrait mode. You know?
Is that, should they be a warning?
Yes.
They don't do portrait?
No, they should just do portrait mode, don't you think?
They won't do portrait or they won't do landscape?
They won't, they always do portrait mode.
They always do portrait mode. They don't
Why
do landscape.
Why is that?
Because they're generally iPhone apps, although I think some poorly programmed apps also just don't accommodate the rotation, which is kind of pathetic, if you ask me.
Well, if anyone has any other
there's a few more, but I don't think they. You know what? Mostly, this is not going to look like it's that different. Too.
No, it might feel faster just because
it might feel a little faster because of the new file
system. APFS.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read some magazines.
Oh, one reason it'll feel faster. One more thing. They've changed the app animation, the app launch animation.
Oh.
It's kind of more rounded corners. And it's a little faster. So that might, okay. You know, it's the funniest thing. That actually can very much affect how you feel the operating system is.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not how fast the computer is. It's how fast applications launch. And applications, Apple likes to do animation, you know. They zoom out at you and stuff like that. On other phones like Android phones, you can turn off those animations or speed them up. And doing that makes the phone feel snappy all of a sudden. So Apple, you know, fortunately they have a pretty darn fast phone, so it doesn't really make much of a difference. But I guess probably in accessibility, I should check. You could turn off application animations. If you're trying to get a snappier phone, that might be something to investigate. Let's see. Accessibility. Zoom? No. Interaction. Assistive touch. Shake to undo. Hearing devices. Is somebody calling you?
Mm-hmm. I hung up.
I like how our families call right when we're on the air. They wait until we're just on the air. Yeah, actually, reduce motion. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, reduce motion. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to turn off the motion, and let's see if that speeds up the application launch. Yeah, it does feel faster because it doesn't do that zoom thing anymore. You know, it does fade in. I mean, they could eliminate that. But, you know, if you'd like to make it feel a little bit snappier, that felt like it launched a little bit faster. Yeah.
So I'm going to be updating my home. And
you're buying a new one.
Well, yeah, I bought a new one, so I've been looking for furniture. And you know what? I don't want to buy a bunch of furniture magazines because after I buy the furniture, I'm not going to care about furniture
I'm glad
magazines
you
anymore.
You said the word magazines.
So I have been looking at Dwell.
That's on Texture. Did you know
yes,
that?
Yes, that's Texture.
Texture.com.
Look at that chair.
/twit. You know, Dwell is a magazine for people like you who are very interested in housing. It's one of the magazines I read. But Texture has more than 200 of the best magazines. If you're into politics, it's got The Atlantic, and it's got Rolling Stone, it's got Time and Newsweek. If you're into fashion, it's got all fashion magazines. Hey, if you're in my business, it's got Ad Age and Billboard, a Variety. I just love Texture. I love magazines, especially if I'm going to be on a plane or I got some time to kill. If I'm at the doctor's office, I don't want to read their old highlights for children. I want to read Sports Illustrated, and I can on Texture. You pick your favorite magazines. It downloads them automatically. It's every page in the newsstand edition plus back issues. And here's the best part, $10 a month for all 200 magazines. Now, if you were going to subscribe to just a handful of magazines, it would cost you more than that. Certainly even more if you bought them on the newsstands. And then you'd have all the clutter. You'd feel bad if you didn't read it. I used to subscribe to The New Yorker, and I'd always feel bad. I didn't read it. And it comes every week, and pretty soon you're going, oh, and the guilt actually keeps you from reading it, believe it or not. So now I read The New Yorker and Texture. It's the best. It's the best. And easy to read. If you like photography, they've got a bunch of photography magazines. Of course, National Geographic. National Geographic looks better, in my opinion, on the iPad than it does in the print version because there's more dots per inch. It's just a cleaner, crisper, better-looking image. They have collections, so if you're not sure what to read, they have a curated collection that'll point you in the right direction. It is just a great service. Everybody I know who uses it loves it. And incidentally, once you subscribe, you can put it on up to 5 different devices, so you'll never be without your favorite magazines. These guys have just figured it out. It's kind of like Netflix for magazines, and you can try it now free for 14 days if you go to texture.com/twit. Consumer Reports, Esquire, Bon Appetit, InStyle, Men's Health. I can go on and on. GQ, Parents Magazine, Real Simple. That's got some fun housing ideas. Mm-hmm. Time Magazine. And you see, these are all the most recent episodes. Vogue. Texture.com/twit. Try it free for 2 weeks. It is great. We're going to go on an airplane to Las Vegas tomorrow. You bet I'll be reading. I'll have them all loaded up on my iPad.
There's really no reason to read books anymore.
I like books, too. I like books, too. I also load up Audible books on my phone before I travel. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact,
podcasts.
I'm going to I heard about them. I'm going to the Galapagos in June, and a number of our viewers have said, you got to read Kurt Vonnegut's book called Galapagos. And then I got that, and I got another book, a kind of a guidebook, a history of the Galapagos. So it's fun. Before I travel, I like to read about the places I'm going to go to.
You know, Allison Sheridan and her husband just got back from the Galapagos.
Did they?
Yes.
I'll have to ask her about it.
Yeah, she posted some wonderful pictures.
What kind of footwear to wear?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. She also got, you have another. She wasn't using her Apple Watch because she had a Google Fi phone, I think.
Oh, so she used it
internationally.
Android Watch.
So, yeah. So
yeah,
then
Fi's good for international.
It was like she had no activity the whole time she was there.
she's one of your partners?
Yes, we share. Yeah. Yes, we share activity. Yeah. And
every once in a while, Megan will say, are you dead or are you just not exercising?
Yeah. Renee was trying to beat his activity by 3 times yesterday.
I hate Renee.
I think he did it too. All right, let's talk about some news.
You know why? Because he was babysitting Georgia Dow's children. That keeps you busy.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we also haven't talked. I know you talked about this on your shows. I've talked about this on my shows. But the Apple iCloud ransom demands. What do we really need to know? I know you're you're big fans of the Turkish crime family,
which is almost certainly not Turkish, and they probably aren't a family. But I'm betting they're criminals. Mm-hmm. Claim they have a $250 million. I keep getting it wrong because I can't believe it's that many. 250 million passwords and logins to iCloud. They say if Apple doesn't give us a bunch of money by April 7th, we are going to change those passwords. But before we do that, first we'll erase the iPhones and the iMacs of those affected accounts. ZDNet did actually, I said, hey, well, Turkish crime family, prove it. It's kind of interesting because the Turkish crime family is very media interested. In fact, they asked ZDNet, can you get us on CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley? more like the Turkish circus family. But they gave them 54 accounts. They said, this is some of the data we have, some of the 250 million. ZDNet was able to verify that in every case, they were all from the UK, by the way, but in every case, those were actual iCloud accounts. And then they tried to contact the owners. They were only able to get a hold of 10 actual owners. And all 10 confirmed, yeah, that was my password at one point, or it is my password right now. They told them, change your password quickly. And a couple of them said, which was interesting, that because the Turkish crime family said that we didn't get this by breaking into Apple. We got it by other means. But a couple of the people that ZDNet talked to said, this is the only place I've used this password is iCloud. So that, it's unclear. You know, maybe they only have 54. Maybe they really do have 250 million. If you're Apple, you got to be trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And the advice I guess we're giving to our viewers is this would be a very good time to change your iCloud password if you haven't already. And to put two-factor on. Two-factor is inconvenient, but even if you hadn't changed your password and you had two-factor on there, they wouldn't be able to get in. They'd have to figure out some way to get that second factor, that six-digit code or four-digit code that Apple sends you. So I think that that's a good idea. Turn on the two-factor.
And use a password manager because then you don't have to remember all of those passwords.
Yeah. But you had an interesting theory that you shouldn't put your iCloud account in your password manager. You should memorize that one.
Because, I mean, we can say that. I mean, I really hope that LastPass would never get hacked.
But if they did, that would be disastrous.
If they got in it there. Yeah, or if someone guessed your LastPass password. The other piece of really important advice is to use different passwords. Because this is the real problem. This is why all these problems are happening, I think.
Right.
You know, Uber accounts, I was reading something. You can go on the dark web and just buy people's Uber accounts for Uber credentials for $3 or $4. And Uber has not been hacked, probably either. The point is that people use the same password on many different. They use their email address and then they use the same password. And I used to do it too. And it took me a while.
Nobody wants to memorize 500 passwords.
Yes, but this one was complicated. And then, you know, if you go to Troy Hunt's site, have I been pwned? I always say it wrong. It's pwned, right?
Pwned. Yeah.
You know, and you enter your email address in there and it tells you, like, oh, the Tumblr hack I got, you know, or the LinkedIn hack. So I know I never use that anywhere, that password.
The one
anymore.
That you used to
yes.
use that used
and
everywhere.
And I don't use the same passwords.
I actually, in the very earliest days, used Monkey.
I did too.
Really?
I did too. Yes. Yes.
Which shows what a terrible password that is. It is one of the top 50 most used passwords.
But it made sense to me because I loved monkeys.
Yeah,
love monkeys? I mean, yeah.
Your podcast used to be called Jumping Monkeys.
It did. I did too. That was, a long time ago. But
So that's why I use a password vault because it will generate a new, hard to remember, which means it's a good password, for every account automatically. And that's the best way to do it. You know what? I don't have anything against your idea that maybe you don't put every password in there. How many can you memorize? If you can say, I can memorize three good passwords, we'll make one of them be your password vault. And then if you want to take, you know, not have iCloud in there and you can remember it, that's fine.
What's the third one for?
I don't know. Google, maybe. I have memorized my Google password, But I have two-factor on there, too. Mm-hmm. And my obviously my LastPass password, you always have to remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of passwords I know by heart.
Mm-hmm. What are they?
Passwords, 1, 2, 3. I was at a bookstore the other day. I took a picture of it. If I could find it, I'll show you. Where they have a book you could buy that says My Passwords on it. And it's a little book for writing all your passwords in. You know what? I have no problem with that. As long as, you know, no one's going to break into your house mm-hmm. and steal it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's you probably should put it somewhere it's not obvious. And you don't mind that you don't know what your passwords are when you don't have your password notebook, mm-hmm. you know, which means outside your house. You should not carry a notebook saying my passwords in your briefcase or purse, however. Mm-hmm. That would be a bad idea.
Right. Don't carry your social security card around in your wallet either.
I got a theory. I think I got an idea. I don't know if this is a good idea. But you could. What you could do is write down half your passwords in the My Passwords notebook and carry it around with you, and then use the same second half for all of them. So a different first half for every site, but the same second half, and maybe make it your phone number when you were a kid. That's I think a good one, because everybody was forced to memorize that, mm-hmm, right? It's kind of burned into your brain, mm-hmm. but it's unlikely any bad guy would be able to get that. Mm-hmm. So even if they got your password, the passwords in there wouldn't work unless they also knew your childhood phone number. Mm. You think that's an idea?
That's an idea.
Yeah. I still think it's best to have a LastPass mm-hmm. or some vault.
T-Mobile will now offer free AppleCare for phones and iPads. It's part of its premium device protection plan. And I
Is this because, but you have to do the new device every year thing?
Apple, I don't know if that's what premium device protection plan is. I would assume it was, because what they're competing against is the AppleCare that comes free when you do the free Apple.
When you sign up for their 12, well, no wonder it's free. You sign up for their $12 a month device protection plan, which is $144 a year. You also will get Apple's, you know, iPhone Plus, or what is it called?
AppleCare
Plus. Is it Plus that you get, or just the regular
AppleCare? Just the regular AppleCare.
Oh, it's not even, yeah.
That's nothing.
You'd have to do some math to make sure that was a good deal. Well, I would before you jump on that, I would check.
I wish someone would
free isn't free if it's $12 a month.
Right. Free is almost never free.
No.
I wish someone would do the math, like, forever for all the cell phone plans that are always so complicated.
Every once in a while, one of the blogs will.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's only good until they change it, and they change it every 5 minutes, so mm-hmm. you kind of almost have to do it yourself.
Well, Android phones recently, or Google Maps, I think you could do this on iOS too, but maybe it's just Android phones, has you can share your location with people, which you've been able to do on iPhones. And now Facebook Messenger will also let you share your location.
They are really overloading Facebook Messenger these days. It does so many things.
It does too many things.
I think so. It's getting a little cluttered in there.
But it is, I like this thing. This is a thing that I like.
All right. So you and I communicate on Facebook Messenger mm-hmm. frequently. So let's say, and I trust you. I know, you know, you're a safe person to share my location with, and you should obviously only do that. So with somebody you trust.
Only people you do podcasts with.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Megan, and then let's see, under the things that I can share, I have a text, picture, photo album, smiley face, GIF, microphone.
It's rolling it out, so I don't know if they've already rolled it out.
I don't have it yet.
That's the thing.
You know what that's like? Is remember there was a service called Glimpse, GLYMPSE, that went away.
Mm-hmm.
Google, I think, lets you do something similar with their maps. You said that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But I like it that, you know, it should be part of your Messenger.
So to share your live location in a message on iOS, tap the location icon or tap the more icon and then select location. Do you have that yet? I think that's is the more icon the hamburger menu?
Yeah, but I don't have any of that.
Okay.
I'll send you. Oh, wait a minute. Here, is this a more one? Yeah, location, payments, request to ride.
Okay, location.
Sent event reminder, Dropbox, Tenor, GIF, Jiffy. So these are all the other things. Boy, there's a lot of stuff. So here, I'm going to tap location. You can show this.
And then you'll see a map of your current location.
Current location.
And the option to tap a blue bar to share the live location.
Yeah, I can actually say I can actually say I'm at Twit or any of these nearby places, or just say, you know, this current longitude and latitude.
And you can stop at any time by just tapping stop sharing.
But it turns off after an hour automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. So it's not like Glimpse, because does it update? If I move around, I don't think so.
Mm.
So this is more like, hey, we're all here. Come on over. I'm on my way. Here I come. Watch this map as I arrive.
I would think it would update. Like Find My Friends does. Well,
Let me walk next door and you tell me if it's updated. No, I don't.
Well, it says, there's a little clock that says how long you're sharing your location for. I would assume that it would track you. And, I mean, why wouldn't? Because Facebook is obviously doing this so that they can figure out where you go and how long you go there. I mean, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their own heart, right?
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Haven't you been watching my Facebook privacy tips on the screensavers?
Very good job. Thank you. And this week's screensavers, you try to get your data out. And what's the surprise is what data they have.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I use it. I think it would be helpful for people that aren't on iPhones that you communicate with. Like if you're not, because I think that the Google Maps does that for iOS or just for Android. Or if you don't use Google Maps and Facebook Messenger.
A lot of messenger apps, it seems to me, I'm thinking, have a location button. I think that's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. So Facebook's just, playing catch up.
Yes. Workflow. Are you a fan of Workflow?
Sorry, I got distracted. They got bought. I am now.
Did you use it before? Everyone always recommends it.
Yeah, it was an app cap. I've never used it. The idea is you can kind of sort of automate iOS tasks. But, of course, since Apple doesn't really support the kind of cross-application automation that really would be useful, it's kind of limited.
Yeah, so here it is on my iPad.
Maybe now they will, though.
Mike Hurley from Relay FM, he loves this, and he showed me all kinds of things.
Nice.
Let's see. I want to log my weight. Activate, automate the things you do with your favorite. Get the latest photos.
It feels like it might be kind of like if this, then that.
Yeah, it is.
Well, but it's limited because it can only do things that Apple lets you do with share sheets and stuff like that. So it's not something. But now that Apple owns them, they will become like Automator or Apple Script for the iPad. I like that idea, and I would guess that's what Apple's thinking. So that could be huge because if Apple lets them do more, then it really could be a useful tool.
Yeah.
It's useful. It's just, it promises, when you first hear about it, it promises more than it actually can deliver. Just because Apple will not let companies, really get deep into the hooks of other apps on the platform. It's nice. You made quite a work.
I've made quite a workflow.
So when you weigh yourself, coffee starts.
And then I show my clipboard, tweet a song, post my last photo.
But notice you can't tweet your weight. And so, see, this is that limitation, right? Some of the logical things that you would want to do, like the obvious one would be when I weigh myself, tweet my weight. But because...
that would not be the most obvious thing.
Not for you. For me, because I've lost all pride in myself, I actually do tweet my weight. I have a Twitter account just for my scale.
I've seen that, but you haven't done it lately. I don't know.
No, Lisa took the scale out. I looked at the scale and said, what's that? She said, I was afraid it was going to tweet my weight. No, she didn't say that, but she got a new scale. She said, this scale was crappy. I said, but that was the one tweeting my weight. It's all right. I never used it, so it's okay.
Okay, so I love the idea of workflow because it's like when I was using the Pixel and everyone said, you can do this, you can do that, you can do that, and I never wanted to do that. I know I could do a lot of those things.
Tasker is an Android app that does this similar, but it can do more because, again, Android isn't as locked down as iOS is.
Yeah. I like the idea of taking a vacation for taking a week to just create all the workflows.
Well, So there are programmers who say if I have to do anything that takes me more than 30 minutes, 30 seconds, I should say, I will write a tool that does it for me, that automates it. I know a guy, he has a little app to send his wife flowers. And, you have trigger applications,
Like every time he does something bad, he sends her flowers.
Yeah.
Every time he texts his girlfriend.
Yeah. Every time I log into Ashley.
Madison.
See, I don't even know the name.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yes.
But Ashley, you know that thing. Anyway, that's how programmers are. That's how they think. So, well, why should I do this over and over again when I can get the computer to do it over and over again?
Yeah. Maybe we should do it. I want you to send me your workflows. If you love workflows,
that's a good idea.
Send them to me and we can talk about them
And get your Hurley guy.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah.
Mike Hurley.
I call him my Hurley guy. But
it's your Hurley guy Mike. To send us some of his work for us and demonstrate that Leo's wrong, that these are really useful.
That's pretty much my goal I set for myself every week.
Yeah,
demonstrate
I do too.
That you're wrong.
Yeah.
Megan at twit.tv or tweet at me, Megan Maroney. If you use Workflow, send me your workflows and maybe we'll come up with some. Because it's just such a pretty app, I think.
It's a really great idea. And it's just hobbled a little bit by, the folks, the way Apple runs the iPhone. It's a very locked down thing.
Jose from Costa Rica sent me an email. He said, I've seen your reviews of the AirPods. How they seamlessly connect with the iPhone and the iPad. Can you tell me your experience with pairing them with the Apple Watch? I have not had a great experience pairing them with the Apple Watch, Jose. I'll try again live here, and maybe I'm doing something wrong, but...
You shouldn't have to. So the theory is every iCloud device that's connected to your... You know, if any one of your iCloud devices is connected to your AirPods, all the rest of them should see it.
Okay, so here's the Bluetooth button. That's where I get to settings and Bluetooth. It sees them, but it just says not connected. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Make sure Megan's AirPods are turned on.
Well, they're not. See, you got to do this.
You got to open them up?
Yeah.
Is that all I have to do?
Yeah. Say okay.
Do I have to start Bluetooth again?
Oh, it's trying to connect, see? It should connect.
Oh, connected! Okay. Okay, so make sure you open them.
Yeah, that's the signal.
Do they have to be in the thing?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, because I thought I was doing it. I was like holding them.
No, don't hold
them
up. It's the case that matters.
The case?
Yeah.
What?
What?
That is a good tip. Was that obvious to everyone out there
but me?
I think
that's in the instructions.
I don't read instructions.
Open the AirPods to pair them.
So, Jose, I've had a great experience pairing the AirPods seamless.
And then, by the way, okay, keep that open. Okay. If you go to your battery life on your Apple Watch, you know how you do that?
Is
you
that
slide
in
down or slide up? No,
oh, yeah.
Go to the clock face.
Yep.
And then tap battery.
That 55%?
No, yeah. It should show. See your AirPod battery as well. But that's only when. Oops.
Look,
damn
I'm
that, Renee Ritchie. I hate Renee Ritchie.
That's me. Oh,
that's you?
Crazy because I haven't been doing anything. Nah. I probably got really excited.
You did. Your heart rate went up.
Yeah,
when I paired
my AirPods.
Yeah. So, but if you get rid of that, you can now see the battery life of both the case and the AirPods.
Ah, wait. Both the case and the AirPods? Or is that... That's
the left
not the
is... Oh, maybe it's just left and
left
right?
The left and the right?
Swipe up a little bit. Maybe you can see the case too. No. Yeah, it's just the AirPods. Never mind. Stop doing it.
Jose, I have had an excellent experience. Thank you for the question.
I do like the AirPods. I got an email from a friend of mine who's a musician, Jeff Lorber, who says he thinks the sound quality is excellent. He's an audiophile. He's a serious musician. So I think it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I told you this before we got the AirPods, that I had gone out and I bought a bunch of wireless Bluetooth headphones, you know, the Beats. And I even bought what everybody said. This is the best Bluetooth headphone you get, the Sennheisers. Because I wanted to get ready for the AirPods. Well, but I hadn't listened on those Sennheisers for a while. So I've been normally using the AirPods to do FaceTime calls and Skype calls and listen to music and audiobooks. So I thought, well, I'm in a FaceTime call with my mom. Let me try these Sennheisers. They were not nearly as good as the AirPods. So something about that W1 chip. Apple has really, I think, improved the quality. Both of the microphone and of the earphones when you're using the AirPods on phone calls, at least, you know. I think they sound really good.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to have our app caps. But first, if you have ever wanted to find my AirPods on your everything.
On your everything.
On your everything.
That's what it is. It's find your everything.
Find your
bicycle,
everything.
Your keys, your watch, your remote controls, your pets. That's what the tracker is. In fact, we had a visitor in here before Find My AirPods came out who had a tracker mounted on his AirPods case because he didn't want to lose his AirPods case. That's a great idea.
And you might still need this because that's
actually,
not...
I think it would work a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I know it would work a little bit better than Apple's technology. Here's why. So the tracker, it's very similar at first. These little quarter-sized anodized aluminum, very lightweight trackers are Bluetooth. So they pair to your phone. And then you have an app that will show you on a map the last place it saw whatever that tracker is attached to. And you have two-way separation alerts. So if you walk away from your keys, the phone will make a noise at you. If you walk away from your phone, the keys will make a noise at you. You can even press a button on the tracker. I say keys, but I should really say tracker, because whatever your tracker is attached to, you can push a button on your tracker that'll make your phone howl. So that's the separation alerts. But here's why it works better than Find My AirPods. So if you leave your AirPods and they've got a tracker attached and you leave it behind, and then some, now your phone will know the last place it paired. So your phone will tell you, oh yeah, you left them in the car. But what if your wife then gets in the car and drives to Guadalajara? Never to see you again. Your phone will still think that your AirPods are in the car in your driveway. But if anybody who uses the tracker, and there are 4.5 million trackers out there now, walks by your wife in Guadalajara, it'll say, ah, I see the tracker. And their app will transparently to you send a message to your phone saying, I see your AirPods. I know where they are. They're in Mexico. And that is what's unique about the tracker. They have the world's largest crowd GPS network. It really works because they've sold so many. Tracker is the number one Bluetooth tracker. I mean, by a long shot. One of the reasons I like them better than the other guys, you can change the battery. So it's Bluetooth LE, so it goes about a year between changes. But you don't have to throw it out when the battery dies. I like that. This is the map of all the trackers out there. In fact, you zoom out, it's all over the world. And that means no matter where you lose something or where it gets carried to, you will get an alert and you'll know where it is. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no reason not to try it. In fact, get a bunch of trackers for everything you lose. Newsweek says that the average American spends 50 minutes a day searching for stuff they can't find. Put it in your hat band. Put it in your shoes. Put it everywhere. They even have a little waterproof case you could put on it so you could put it on your pet. Because it's light. It's no bigger than a dog tag. Stop losing your stuff today. Go to thetracker.com. Enter the promo code iOS today. Oh, look, there's Fluffy. Enter iOS today as the offer code. You'll get a free Tracker Bravo with any order. TheTracker.com. Use the offer code iOS today to get a free tracker with your order. Oh, if you're the jester, I must be the king.
Yes. Is that what I am, the jester?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're my jester. The ace of spades or the queen of hearts or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. We're wearing caps because it's app cap time.
That means we're going to honor some app that we think is really great and you should try.
Yes. I want to preface to mine. Your health information is very private and important. And if you don't want to give it away, then this might not be the app for you. But I did look into the privacy policies on this app, which is called Ada, which I promised at the beginning of the show that we would play doctor. And now we're going to play doctor because you're going to give me some symptoms, fake symptoms.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the start. It's just for the iPhone, not for the iPad. But I actually think this is very, for a bot, this is pretty great.
For a bot,
for
you're
a
pretty
bot,
great.
You're pretty great. So, hi, Megan. I can help you find out what's going on. Just start a symptom assessment. So let's start a symptom assessment. Who is this assessment for? It's for someone else because I'm going to assess Leo.
Okay.
Please choose Leo or add a person. We've already done an assessment, so I will choose Leo.
Okay.
And when I did this before, it asked me all kinds of questions.
Do you mind if I make a video of you while you're doing this?
Not at all. Okay, what, Leo, is the symptom that's been troubling you the most?
And a snap cut to Leo saying, my head itches.
My head itches. Interesting.
Interesting.
Okay,
maybe
so
it's something
you
to do with the crown.
You lose your head easily. That was the first thing.
I
boy,
do lose
frustrating.
My head.
Itchy scalp, itchy all over the body, eyelid turns inwards, sense of one's thoughts being audible to others.
Oh, dear.
Noise
That's
in
a
ear.
One.
Feeling.
Why don't we do that one? That's what I meant when I said my head's itchy.
Sense of one's thoughts.
I think people can be
inaudible to others.
People are hearing what I'm saying.
Do you have any other symptoms?
My shoes are on backwards.
Okay, so yes. shoes are on.
I don't think that counts. I'm sorry. I'm not taking this seriously.
Well, let's see how, I mean, you know, who knows someone. Let's see how it works. We're going to test it.
Okay.
On, we're first on backwards. shoes are on backwards.
I don't think that's a symptom.
Muscle jerks, inflated self-esteem,
yes.
Misshapen toe.
Inflated self-esteem.
Delusions.
Yeah, no.
Inflated self-esteem.
Yeah, definitely have that.
Really?
Yeah. What you don't act surprised.
How long has this been troubling you? Less than a week, 1 to 3 weeks, as long as I've known you.
As long as I've known you.
More than 3 weeks.
More than 3 weeks, yeah.
Do you have any other symptoms?
No.
No. Okay. Here's... Okay. Does he ever hear, see, or feel things which are not real?
So these are actually, for mental illness, this would be a reasonable diagnostic question.
It is, yeah.
I'd say yes, I do.
All right. Has there been a recent change in your behavior?
Yeah. Yeah. I started wearing my shoes backwards.
Do you have difficulty with social interactions?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, that might or might not be true. Do you appear
no,
apathetic
I'm
or
never,
completely?
I'm never listless.
Never
no.
listless or no. apathetic.
No.
Do you avoid interactions with people and social
yes,
activities?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I keep to myself.
Have you shown a loss of interest in things that you used to engage you?
Well, no.
No.
No, I haven't lost interest in things used to engage me.
Do you feel frequently or persistently anxious?
Okay. Okay.
Do you appear to be confused?
This is, yes. Now, it's, by the way, gone to the third person, so you're answering these questions at this point.
Right.
Does he ever feel that their thoughts are being put into his mind by someone else? Yeah, I don't know if I want, how far down this road I want to go. Yeah?
Yeah.
Are we almost done?
Let's see. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. Now I'm just guessing.
Random. So it's really narrowing us down.
It really is. These are a lot of questions.
More than we had for the itchy feet.
Yeah, we diagnosed.
It zoomed right in on athlete's foot.
So let's see. Let's look at our old assessment. So itchy foot was what we did before. And
it came up with a pretty good
view. Yeah.
Thought maybe I had a food allergy, but so it's not a doctor.
No, it's not a doctor.
But you know, they've had, I've seen decision trees like this on Mayo, the Mayo Clinic, and, you know.
That's a lot of questions.
Boy, they're really, I'm afraid that if you keep answering this, somebody's going to come to our office and take me away.
Okay, so they say that it's private. The information is kept on the cloud, not on your device, and that when you get rid of your account, you they get rid of all your information.
Good.
That is what they say.
Okay.
This is from the EU. It's not from the United States.
So
they have
stricter
privacy rules than we do.
Yeah,
so,
if they say that, then I believe it. Because
so I think I have the, I don't know if I have the privacy. I have the ADA.com.
I don't have a problem. You know, this is very useful. You know what it's useful for as a mom?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid's got a rash or something's going on and you just want to get... You could, and truthfully, you probably should still call your advice nurse, your physician, and talk to a human. But this might give you some quick ideas about what might be going on.
Yeah.
I see no problem with that. As long as you don't replace a medical opinion.
Right. Well, like the itchy foot thing, you know, it's like, I mean, most people already know this. If your foot starts to itch, if the skin's scaly, it's probably athlete's foot, and you can get rid of it, you know, with over-the-counter medication.
Right.
So then you've just saved yourself and the healthcare system a lot of money going to the doctor.
Yeah, because that was a pretty simple. Yeah.
Right. But everybody doesn't know that.
Nobody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very nice.
ADA. Free.
ADA.
It's free.
Free,
but, you know, you also begin to question, why is it free? But again, for someone who if you're diagnosing like an eating disorder
You're getting paranoid in your old age.
Yes.
You don't trust
anybody.
It's
not paranoia if they really are after you. But
that's true. That's true.
But yeah, if you're trying to diagnose someone with...
You're beautiful.
That's so true. I guess we're moving on to your app that makes
you
beautiful.
Not bored or anything, but okay. I just thought I'd play with this a little bit while you...
Okay, you go.
Go on and on about that app of yours. This actually, I am just getting to know this app. This was a recommendation from Effin Dunn.
Mm.
Jason Cleanthes, our old producer. Jason is a videographer. He works for the city of LA now. And he said, you got to take a look at this new video app. That's free this week. Apple does, you know, a free app every week. It's called Muse Mage. Not a great name. M-U-S-E-M-A-G-E. But it is free, and it is a great video app with a lot of interesting features. Now, of course, you could shoot video with a built-in camera app. But there's things you just can't do. For instance, this has filters. And here's a slimming filter.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Smoothing. Beautify smooth. Beautify natural. light beautify, or I could just turn beauty off.
No, don't turn beauty off.
It's got built-in stabilization, which is awesome. Let me try the beauty on me and see what it can do. Let's try smooth. See, it's kind of...
Oh, look how smooth
it is.
You
it's much prettier, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of that. Let me see if we can get that.
That angle is probably not the best.
Well, it's not a beauty angle, but you get the idea. Slim does not work. I keep trying it. And not any slimmer. So that's just the beginning. I mean, there is a whole lot more here. It's support for blue screen, magic color. I can't figure out why these don't do anything, but they sure look exciting.
You can't slide them like it's not like that?
I don't
know
what I'm doing wrong.
No.
But blue screen, magic color, manual video, photo, time lapse, and stop motion. It also has some very elaborate controls in here that give you a lot more. There's a bokeh effect.
Muse Mage? Mage Muse? What was it called?
Did I say it wrong? Muse Mage.
No, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah,
I was
Muse
asking.
Mage.
Muse
there's
Mage.
Look, there's a tilt shift. Here's vignette. Soft focus.
Ooh, that
blur,
looks nice.
Fisheye. See, I don't know why it's sometimes responding to me and sometimes not. It's probably something's going on with my device that it's not being responsive.
What about if it's 10.3?
They have it could be. You know, wouldn't that be funny if Apple recommended an app for free that doesn't work on 10.3? That would be funny. I'd be laughing, ha-ha. I don't know. I don't know what I've done to offend the Muse Mage gods.
Hmm.
Maybe it'll work better on the iPhone. This is the iPad version of it. But I think it probably is better for the iPhone. In the settings, I haven't even gotten to the editor yet, by the way. That's all just for shooting. In the settings, you can preset closing credits, portrait, film by, closing credits line. You could choose the video encoding quality. So, in other words, this is kind of like Apple's own video app with lots more settings. It has a video editor. Let's add some videos. They're not going to be very good ones, but you know, there's one. Oh yeah, there's one and there's two. So you're going to add them in order, and there's three. Okay, done. We're going to build the timeline here. So I think that the iPad, especially if you have one of the newer iPads, this is the one with the best camera. There we go. There's timeline editing, which is nice. It means you can slide stuff around. You can trim it by trimming the handles. You can arrange it. I think this looks like a very interesting... Here's all the other... These are the effects that you could also do while shooting, but I think to be able to do this after the fact is kind of nice. These are some pretty good effects. And video effects, a little harder to do, right? Than look at that. Very noir. How do you like that? Isn't that beautiful? We're going to make a noir movie out of Megan. You can add music. You can... And you'll like this. There's a beautify slider. So you can beautify it a little bit or beautify it a lot. Isn't that kind of cool? Any of the other... how about adding a little pop?
Oh,
or
that's
some
perfect.
Neon. So you're ahead and floating in water. That's pretty cool.
For a free app, that's amazing.
You're free today.
Free today. I got it already. I got it on my iPhone.
How about adding some rain? We can make this the whole thing be rainy, or a little some TV bars and a little TV thing. There's some fun stuff in here. So, this is as if I'm spying on you through the window blinds.
It's not creepy at all.
You want to be a werewolf, slashed, vampire, or an insect? So this is fun, Muse Mage, and you know you can never have too many of these apps. I think it's always fun to have a little bit more capability. And I apologize for not giving you a great demo because Effin Dunn just told me about this and I wanted to get it on this week because it is free this week only. It's one of those Apple free apps.
Here's what I did to you.
You swirlified
I
me.
I swirled you. There you
nice.
Are. There's your eyeballs.
Nice.
I'm going to save that.
For free, pretty impressive. I'm not sure. Oh, now it's sliding. So maybe it was just, I don't know what. Maybe I was doing something wrong.
Or maybe, is it an iPhone app?
No, but it just wasn't doing the sliding. Now blue screen. So if I had a blue screen behind me, I could double tap to select the color I want to replace. Actually, I guess I could do that. Like, wouldn't it be fun to just replace the color of my my jacket?
That is awesome.
Or replace the color of my sweater.
I love that.
Actually, this is probably more. Well, you got it. You know, obviously you're going to pick colors that.
That is creepy.
Yeah.
And wonderful.
Yeah. I think it's pretty neat. This is a, you know what? The more I play with it, the more I like it. I'm glad it's working now. Magic color. You can do, which is another kind of like a magic color. I can double tap the color I want to replace and I can make everything green. And you get a dog too. So this is a lot of fun.
And you can, yeah, take pictures motion. From your camera roll.
Yes, you can import from your camera roll as well as take new video. Muse Mage. We will play with it some more. I'll make a video and bring it back next time.
Maybe we should do the whole next episode in Muse Mage.
We could. It's really, you know, I'm actually really, in all seriousness, excited by the kind of creativity that you can do. And these apps, this is free.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we take it all for granted.
Mm-hmm. But you don't take it for granted.
Mm-mm.
No. Thank you for watching.
Effin Dunn for that.
Yes.
Nice
and
pick.
Thank you for listening or watching while you're folding your laundry or sweeping your floor or driving to work. Hopefully you're only listening if you're driving to work. You can always email me at megan@twit.tv. And if you want to email Leo, email leo@megan@twit.tv. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm @MeganMaroney. And the show records every single Monday at 1:30.
Unless we're on a holiday.
Which is, yeah. I mean, is there a holiday coming up?
I hope so.
And you're going on vacation, but you'll be back before.
I'll be back.
You never miss this show.
Next time. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I like this show. This is a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is. Free app of the week. Muse Mage professional video camera and editor from Paraken Technology. Somebody in the chat room said they couldn't find it. So that's what you should be looking for.
M-U-S-E-M-A-G-E.
Muse Mage. Don't know what that means.
What's a mage? A mage is a thing.
I'm a mage. It's a wizard.
A wizard. So muses
a very
and wizards.
Smart
that
guy.
Makes sense. That yeah. was very wizardry-ish.
Yeah, it's got a lot of wizardry
mm-hmm.
in it.
Right.
See well, that's
week.
It.
Yep.
Time to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.